So please welcome Glenn.
Hello, everybody. So anyway, I all told you the story about this girl that I saw in the schoolyard, right? This ghost, this apparition. So anyways, in second grade, I ended up injuring my back, and I was in the hospital. And I told you the story about the little girl they moved in that was burned. So I never did see her because she was in the oxygen tent, but for 3 days, all she did was tell me about her life and her dog and her cat and her mother and her father and everything she did and the whole works. So I sat there, laid there and listened to her. They stuck me in a body cast and sent me home. Well, not home. I ended up at Paige's house because I didn't trust my mother. And so Paige luckily stepped up to the plate and took care of me. So I'm laying in, she took apart the bunk beds and stuck me in a bed. So I'm laying there and I'm paralyzed from the waist down. And that's all I could think about. But the other thing I started to think about was this little girl that shared my room with me. And all I ever saw was her hand, and it was horribly burned. And I started dreaming about this little girl, but it wasn't a human being that you know. It was a person that was burned over their entire body. And this little girl had no eyes, had no nose. Her hair was beautiful, but the rest of her was horribly burned. And that's what I dreamt about. But the thing is, I wasn't afraid of that. I loved that little girl. I got to like her while we were sharing that room. And it didn't matter that she was horribly burned. That could be classified a nightmare. And in many respects, it was. But for some reason, it didn't bother me as much as you would think it would bother me. So I'm laying in bed. Bobby's little sister, she's 3 years old, I think she was, decided to camp out with me in bed. So she brought all her dolls and all her stuffed animals, and she'd put them all around me, and she was going to play nurse with me, and so she'd come and tell me that she had a special pill, it was an M&M, so she'd feed me M&Ms and tell me I was going to get better. But I was laying there, and I thought, I can't move. I didn't have any feeling from the waist down. And so I kept on thinking about that little girl, Cynthia, and how that she, even though she was dying, she could barely breathe, that she wanted to communicate her life. And then I thought, that's me. I want to live. I want to be able to walk again. So I built up this thing in my head. But I kept on dreaming about her, and she was this burned little girl. And for some reason, I kept on trying to move my legs. And so one day, I was trying to move my toes. And so one day, Missy went and got her mom's fingernail polish. And she decided she was going to paint my toes, my toenails. And I thought, oh, well, what the heck? I mean, she spilled the first bottle on the bed sheet. Okay, no big deal. She spilled some on my leg. No big deal. So as she was painting my toes, she kept on getting mad. And she said, you have to stop doing that. I can't paint your toes. And I said, what am I doing? She said, you're wiggling your toes. And I said, I am? And she said, yeah. And I kind of tried to peek up, and I could see I was actually moving my little toes. So when Paige came back, of course, she was horrified by the big mess, but she cleaned it up. And guess what? I could move my toes. And that meant a big deal. She called the doctor. Anyways, went through this therapy session with a guy who wasn't used to children, but he got me on his feet, got me walking, not very far, I'm afraid, but I was still walking. So that stage of my life was over. I was walking. I felt that was a fresh start. I'm not paralyzed from the waist down. But what I wanted to do was run. That was the whole thing. I mean, I'd see kids in the schoolyard running, and I wanted to be like them. I wanted to run. I remember how it was to run. I wanted to run again. But I couldn't. I could just barely, like, sputter along, kind of like I do now. They were laughing at me because I was running to the cashier's stand, and I was kind of running, and this one girl says, you know, she's about 19 years old, hey, I think you were faster when you were walking. I thought, oh, great. Anyways, but that's about the best I could do in running. So when I got into high school, there was a coach, Doug Boyd, and I got put into his class by mistake because I wasn't supposed to have PE. So I told him my problem. Doug Boyd says, well, I'll tell you what. You know what? Stay in the class, you'll get an A. And I said, okay. So every single day he had me go and walk around the track, and then I'd go in the weight room, and he'd tell me what to do. And I started working on legs and upper body and things like that. So after about 2 weeks, Doug says, hey, do a lap. I said, okay, so I did a lap. Well, anyways, long story short, by the end of the year, I was running a mile in 12 minutes. And I thought that was fantastic. So I changed school districts. I went to another school, and I had a coach who used to be an ex-Marine. And so he was a cross-country coach. So I wasn't very fast. I didn't do great in the races. I was constantly lapped. I didn't care. I was running. And so one day, Coach Ertman says, hey, we're going to go on the Coffin Hill Road Run. And I said, okay. So I said, everybody meet at the school at 6. So there was 15 of us boys, and we started running this run, and we just kept on running and running and running. And then we ran through this open field, and it was muddy, and we lost 4 boys there. And the funny thing is, the coach didn't stop. We just kept on running. We left the boys behind. A couple more dropped out with leg cramps, and we just kept on running. Pretty soon, we're heading back to school. It was just Coach Ertman and myself. And then Coach Ertman says, hey, show me what you got, boy. And I look at him, and I say, what? He said, show me what you got. Kick the old man's ass. Come on, boy. I said, okay. So I started sprinting. And I sprinted for a whole mile. I ran into the track, and I was really pooped, and he came running in, and I said, hey, coach, what do we do here? I mean, how many miles do we run? And he said, oh, man, you just did 18 miles. Wow. And I'm going, holy cow, I just ran 18 miles. I was so impressed. Anyway, he got in a lot of trouble because all those boys that we left, the parents were at the school the next day, and they wanted him fired because he left those boys out in the mud and everywhere else, you know, and they had to call their parents, no cell phones, had to find a payphone, had to get somebody to loan them a quarter to call mom. Mom, I'm over here, help. Coach left us. Anyway, so he got in a lot of trouble. But I was running. So the next thing was I had this crappy old bicycle. I had this kid in 7th grade. Great kid, though. He taught me meditation, which I thought was really cool. Antanasio Luna. What a name. He was a chick magnet, man. I love that kid. Anyway, we started rebuilding bicycles from junk, bicycles that we found at the dump. So I had this old twin Varsity, and I rode that thing all over the place. I just loved it. I tried to build up as many miles as I could. I mean, the thing was a tank. Downhill, it was great with those fat old tires, man. You could just lean into the turns. But uphill, oh, my gosh. I think it was 5 gears because the derailleur was broke, and so I was trucking up hills with 5 gears. But at the bike shop, there was a Swin Peugeot Professional. And I wanted that bike, but it was $250. I didn't have that kind of money. I was a poor kid. And so I kept on going in and looking at the bike, and the guy in the bike store said, hey, you can make payments. I said, no way in the world I'm going to finish paying for that thing. You know, I mean, $250. I was like, you know, fly me to the freaking moon. There was no way I could come up with that money. So I got the job at the Bird Avery. So instead of going around the little thing that goes across the railroad tracks, I used to jet over the overpass. So every single day I jet over the overpass, and then I jet back. So I had done that, no big deal, you know, and so it was against the law, but who cared? And so one day I'm coming home from work, and I'm jetting over the overpass, and I get to the top, and I start to charge down the bottom, and then a big old Lincoln Continental pulls up next to me. And she's getting closer and closer, and I keep on moving over closer to the guardrail, and this is a straight drop down. I mean, I don't have anywhere to go. So I'm sitting there going, and she finally gets right up on me. There's nothing else I can do. She's right next to me. So I lurch over and I grab onto the trunk thing, the crevice. I grab onto that, and as I do, my bike slips out from under me, and so I'm kind of holding on like this, and I kind of get one leg on her bumper. And I'm stretched out there, and she's going, and I'm praying, please stop, please stop. Oh my God, please stop. I thought I was going to die. My bike is a crunched mess behind me, and she finally pulls over. So she stops, and I kind of get on my feet, and I look up at the driver, and she's sitting there going like this. And she gets out of her car, and she looks at my crunched bicycle, and then she looks at me, and she goes, oh my God, are you okay? And I said, I'm fine. She says, she runs up to me, she looks me over, she gives me a big hug. She goes, oh my God, I thought I killed you. Are you sure you're okay? And I said, I'm fine, but my bike's a mess. She says, oh Jesus. She says, go get your bike. She put it in the big trunk of that Lincoln Continental, and she said, look, I'm going to buy you a new bike. I said, really? And she said, yeah, I'm going to buy you a new bike. So I took her to the bike shop. I said, the most expensive bike there. I said, I want that Peugeot Professional. It was 19 and a half pounds. It was a dream. It was fabulous. And so that was my new beginning on bicycles, because I took that thing and I rode it all over the damn place. I even went off the side of Page Mill Road with it and landed in a tree, and that thing was still good. I had to have the wheels retuned, and, you know, it's kind of scratched up. But other than that, that bike was great. So that bicycle gave me a new beginning, and the running sort of gave me a whole new world, because I used to run everywhere. I just loved it. So anyways, those are my new beginnings. I really couldn't come up with another story, so I don't know what else to say. I had other new beginnings, because I tell you what, I was telling somebody that every new beginning I ever had usually ended up with a total horrible crash. And then what I had to do was have a new beginning. So all of a sudden there was a new beginning, but then it always ended up in this total horrible crash. It's like when I met Diane, she was a new beginning, the love of my life. I'd never had a girlfriend like her. She was amazing. But it ended up that she became a heroin addict and I became an alcoholic. So I had the crash, right? We eventually did get married, only for 8 months, because I couldn't stay away from the booze. But we had the crash, 3 years in the streets, and then we had the new beginning, right? Everything changed. Our lives got straightened up. We got married. Then I had another crash, went back out on the street. She left me, went to Ohio, but ended up with Birdie. And Birdie basically got me off the bottle and got me all straightened out. So anyways, that's the way my life has been. So I was trying to think of this. Have I still got any time, or am I out of time? Okay, stop. Does that mean cut it off? Okay, I'm done.